Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane.
Welcome in to another episode of Odd Man Rush. It's Will Hyland joined with Kyle Diesel. Thank you for tuning in. If you listened last week, we previewed the Western Conference of the NHL ahead of Wednesday's puck drop. Today, we'll be doing the Eastern Conference and getting that out to you ahead of Wednesday's puck drop. And it remains to be another entertaining discussion tonight. I know of it ahead of time. So, Kyle, are you ready for an entertaining discussion to open up the year?
I am ready.
Awesome. We love to hear that. You know who else is ready? I think before we jump in to the Eastern Conference, there's one piece of unrelated business that has broke since this afternoon, to be exact, with the Western Conference team. Winnipeg signs Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuyck to 7-year extensions. That's huge news. We did our fantasy hockey draft last night, and I purposely passed on Scheifele as like my third center. By the way, we have a deep league. That's why he would have been my third center. I passed on him because I was unsure that, you know, he was going to play a lot with all these trade question marks, but now he's locked in. Hellebuyck is the same way. And what do you think that does for Winnipeg? Is your mind changed? Mine certainly is.
I think my mind is changed. I think they're ready to go all in this year. I think they're, depending on how the season goes, they might become buyers compared to sellers, as we originally thought they were going to be by that time. Most likely is what we were assuming, but now they've got these deals. I think Winnipeg is going to try to make another run.
I think so too. And they must have looked at the Western Conference layout and said, like, yeah, we know Dallas, Colorado, Vegas, I mean, Edmonton, they're all going to be there. But beyond that, there's a lot of, like we said last week, there was a lot of question marks in that conference.
Correct.
About Nashville, about Calgary, about LA, about so many teams. And so I think they saw that and they're like, well, let's load up, let's get it done. And now we don't have it hanging over us. So I think it's huge. Correct. Huge for the Winnipeg Jets. But they weren't the only team, Kyle, that made a move today. Buffalo Sabres, moving back out to our main topic of conversation tonight. The Sabres go out and they get Rasmus Dahlin signed to an 8-year extension. What did you think of that move?
I think it's great for them to keep their youth, especially with how powerful of an offense they had last year.
Yeah.
The only issue they had defensively is that they had a very young defense and a very young goaltender. So I expect things to improve this year, or I at least hope they would. But I definitely think they're the team to watch out to make noise, especially in the Atlantic this year.
I think so too. I think so. We're going to get to the standing predictions in a little bit. I agree. I mean, you look at what they've got going on there with their young goalie, right, who they drafted high. They have, I forget his name, honestly.
I don't remember.
I get him and the Calgary guy mixed up. I know Dustin Wolf in Calgary. What's that guy's name? Devin something? I can't remember. I can pull it up. While I continue talking. Devin Levi, thank you.
Yes.
Devin Levi. So they've got him, they've got Owen Power, now they've got Dahlin, obviously Tage Thompson. All these guys are starting to become mainstays in that program. And, you know, I think they will make noise. I'm not sure they're going to finish higher than like third or fourth at best. We'll get to that in a second. But extending Dahlin goes a long way toward building a sustainable competitive future in Buffalo, which is something that they have not had for over a decade. And they're sort of doing the Devils model right now. They are like the Atlantic Division Devils, right? Like That's right. Bunch of young forwards. What they're going to have to do, and this is what I think they should do. I think they should go get Patrick Kane when Kane gets healthy. And if he wants to go play, I think they should go make a swing for Patrick Kane.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they need at least another one more veteran presence. I mean, look what the Devils did. They brought another veteran player. So I think for Buffalo, they have right now, they have so much upside, which is great. As long as they don't take a step back this year, they have so much upside this upcoming season. But like you said, I do see them. They could be as high as a three, and that's a playoff spot for them. It's the first time in a while. So I think if they made the playoffs, that's a huge thing for them.
Yeah, that would be huge. It would be massive achievement for a franchise that had. I mean, there's a lot of players that have gone in and out of there recently who are talented players. You know, Evander Kane, Taylor Hall, Jack Eichel, where it just didn't work. So that's huge news. So both of that, both of those things, excuse me, happened today. But let's stick in the Atlantic, all right, talking about Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right. Last week we followed the model. Give me your Atlantic division, and then I'll give you mine, and then we'll hash it out from there.
All right. So I've got for the Atlantic division right now, I have Toronto taking the number one spot, followed by the Panthers. And then I have the Bruins at number three. And then surprisingly, I do have Buffalo as number four, then followed by Tampa. And then I do have Ottawa, then Detroit, and then finally I have Montreal leading up the end.
So we had very similar, I'd say there were two places we differed. All right. So I had Toronto number one. I think on paper, they're still going to win a boatload of games, even with stuff going on in goal. Mm-hmm. Florida I had number two. Tampa I had number three. We'll get to that in a second. That was a big difference between you and me. I had Boston four. I had Buffalo five. I had Ottawa six. Montreal seven. And Detroit eight.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think the biggest point of contention near the top was that Toronto and Florida, we'll get to them in a second, but let's stay with our differences. You had Tampa at five. So we basically... You had a Boston, Buffalo, Tampa, but I had Tampa, Boston, Buffalo.
Correct.
So let's hash those three teams out, because I think those three teams could go in a variety of different ways.
Correct.
We talked a little bit about Buffalo. I think we're in agreement that they're on the ascend.
Correct.
I do think that they are going to run into some games where – you know, a young team faces problems. They're going to try and play the New Jersey Devil playbook of last year, I think, which is just, you know, play with house money. But I think if they play good enough down the stretch, they could still make the playoffs even as the five team in that division. We'll see what happens in the Metro. But, you know, I think Buffalo's on the ascend. I'm just not 100% sure they're going to be third or fourth. They could be, and I wouldn't be surprised. I think we're in agreement there that they're going to be in that 3 to 5 range. You have them at four. I have them at five. I don't think there's much difference there. Why Tampa low for you? I mean, the Vasilevsky injury is going to be the big topic. But why else?
The other issue is that they have players currently on the team. They're undecided of if they want to keep or not. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank right now to his name.
Is it Stamkos?
Yeah, Stamkos isn't too happy. And he's a huge player. I mean, I get it. He's up there in age. That team is getting a little bit older. But he's a huge part of that team that went to the Stanley Cup multiple times and won. And that's, for me, if your leader right there is frustrated, it could dwindle down to the rest of the team. But I think the bigger factor is Vasilevsky missing basically 2 to 3 months. And we all know if you're, depending on how you are by Thanksgiving being in December, you kind of already know if you're got a shot at the playoff, making the playoffs or not. And that's my biggest concern, because teams can start the season hot, and if they get too hot, it's okay if they cool off a little bit later on. But I don't know if Tampa can afford to recover, because I don't know if I trust their backups.
Or yeah, the backup goaltending is yikes. I mean, geez, this is what makes me as a Bruin. What is going on? What is playing? Jeez, I'm crow. I'm not paying for this ad, all right? My goodness. Where is that ad coming from?
I don't know. It's not for me.
I had Daily Faceoff pulled up because I was unsure about the names of their backup goaltenders. So I had that pulled up and I went over to that tab. And as soon as I did, it just played the advertisement.
Who's their backup two goaltenders?
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you when I got interrupted. The backup goaltenders are Jonas Johansson and Matt Tompkins. Now,
I mean, Johansson has played before, I believe, for Chicago a couple of years, right?
I think that sounds about right. I almost said Detroit, but Chicago is, I think,
he's had a couple good seasons. I don't know if he's still got much left in the tank, because I don't think he's ever been a number one, I don't think he should be a number one. He's definitely a decent backup. I don't know if the two of them can bounce off each other for
two months. He's only 28, though. I mean, he played for Buffalo, Colorado, and Florida.
Mm.
So I don't know who you're thinking of, but
I don't know who I'm thinking of either.
Me either. We were both thinking of the wrong guy. That's the point, right? Like, if we don't, as followers of the sport, have a good grasp on who their backup is, who's going to be playing all this time, then
so say how many times has Vasilevskiy have played as the starter versus their backup in the last
year or two? He must play like 60 games a year. I don't know. We could pull that up.
I mean, he's closer to that 70 range.
I don't know about that high, but he could. Let's find out. But I guess like that's the big thing with them.
Yes, you know? And the other big concern is that it's a back injury, and I definitely know from many experiences, not my personal experiences, but many goaltenders who do get back surgery, it's pretty grueling on your body as a toll, because as a goaltender, you got to be able to move side to side, twist, and that's the biggest concern. If it was something else, it might have been a little bit easier, but back is definitely a very hard one as a goaltender.
So he went, starting in the 2016-17 season, he's played 50, 65, 53, 52, 42, and that was the year of the COVID bubbles year.
Yeah.
Like where they all played in different divisions. 63 and then 60. So he has been in that 60 range. So Tampa has certainly leaned on him, of course, being one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. But here's back to the difference in our takes. So it sounds like you're really concerned about Stamkos being a free agent and Vasilevskiy being hurt.
Correct.
I am going to push back on the Stamkos thing, because I think eventually they're going to appease that guy. He's like the face of their franchise, has been for all these cup runs. I think eventually that's going to work itself out. What's more concerning to me, and why they're not going to finish in the top two like they normally do, or maybe I think in the past they've been, I think last year they were third, and maybe the year before, but they used to be one or two every year, is what concerns me more is that they're very top heavy.
Yep.
Stamkos, Point, Kucherov are great. Hagel and Mott are great on your second line too. So I think your top six is really solid. Cirelli's a good player down the middle. But they gave up a lot for Tanner Jadel, who I'm not 100% sold on. Connor Sheary's coming over from Washington. We'll see how that goes. Defense is still really good.
But yes.
There's just something about them is I think they're a little bit on the decline, a lot like the Bruins are going to be. And for that reason, I think it'd be unrealistic to expect them to finish in the top two. I think 3, 4, or 5 is fair. But so you have them in 5. You think they're gonna? Do you think they have a chance at making the playoffs as a fifth place wild card?
I think so. I think they got. I mean, that's tough. I mean, if Vasilevskiy returns and he's healthy and ready to go, I think they have a shot. It just depends on how far ahead I would say someone in the Metropolitan would be compared to them.
Right. Depends on what kind of season Pittsburgh has or the Islanders have. Or
correct.
Washington. Those are the- yeah. I understand. Makes sense. Now,
yeah.
Now with that said, you've got the Bruins in that 4 spot. Correct. I'm assuming you're then putting them in a wild card spot, that yet you don't have 5 teams from the Metro making playoffs.
Correct.
All right. So with the Bruins, I'll let you go first as the non-Bruin fan, and then I'll go first when we talk about the Devils. But what's your take? Like, why are they still a playoff team despite all the talent that went out the door?
I mean, they still have the talent that's there and gone. I mean, the only inconsistency that the Bruins have is they don't have as many titles as they should have currently in the last decade. So do they have a lot of guys who have been there, not saying they've all done that and got the title, but they definitely have been there. But like we've talked about, I'm a little worried about their third and fourth line depth going forward is my concern of who are they going to put as their centers. As it gets later on in the season, you're going to start relying on those fourth lines that can come up clutch later on, especially in the playoffs. So that's like my biggest concern right them is they're having their depth / like third and fourth line solidified.
You're saying their top two lines are good enough to help them get in the playoffs, but that once they get there, you're not really sure because of the third and fourth.
Correct.
All right. I mean, that's fair. I agree. I think the reason I still have them as a playoff team in that 4 spot is because, and now that you had them in the 3rd spot, you had them 3rd.
Correct.
You had them making the playoffs no matter what. Okay, I'm sorry. I have them still making the playoffs as a wild card, as a 4. And the reason I do is a lot like you said. I think Zacha and Pasternak work really well together.
Correct.
I think Pasternak is probably a top 5 player in the league. I don't think he's going to score as many goals last year because he's not going to be playing with David Krejci. He's not going to be playing with David Krejci as often. Actually,
correct.
None at all, because Krejci retired. So, 0. I think last year, the reason I'm laboring on this is because I can't remember how often he played with Krejci last year to begin with. But because Krejci's not going to be here at all, I think Zach is still a really good player. But it was even better when Zach was your left wing and you had Krejci down the middle.
Correct.
And he's also Bergeron, not playing on the power play with Bergeron or Taylor Hall. So, like, that's going to be a big lift, is that between the loss of Krejci, Hall, and Bergeron, those are 3 top 6 caliber forwards that are no longer on your team that were helping Pasternak score a lot of goals. I think he'll still get his fair share of goals. I just don't think it'll be 60. It'll probably be more like 45.
Yeah.
So I think Pasternak's going to be a reason why this team is still good. I think DeBrusk is going to have another solid year. I think he's playing for a big contract in the offseason. So I believe that will play a factor. And also, I do really like this team's defense still. A lot of people talk about Orlov walking out the door and whatnot. But like Lindholm, McAvoy are still very, very good defensive players. And Carlo and Grizzlick aren't as good as them, obviously, but they're still solid. And then I think Bruins fans should be optimistic about some of their young guys. I think that John Beecher and Fabian Lysell are eventually going to get looks consistently. We know Matthew Poitras is already going to probably crack the roster. And Mason Lorai. So I think the Bruins fans are going to get good contributions on their television screens from some of their younger players. And I think you correctly point out that they don't have a lot of great depth. But ultimately, their best position of depth is going to be at goaltender. And that's going to be, I'd Correct. Say, the secondary reason why they're still going to be pretty good is because even though Pasternak is probably your best forward far and away at this point now, you still have Marchand, who I haven't mentioned yet. And you have your two goalies, right? Linus Ullmark, Vezina Trophy winner, and Jeremy Swayman would start on probably 25 of the 30 teams, honestly. I mean, that might be a little bit of a exaggeration. No, maybe 20. Maybe 20. He would probably be a starter on 20 teams in the NHL, I would say. I would put him in the top 15 easily. So for that reason, I think that's why they're going to be pretty good. So let's get to the bottom of the division, and then we'll finish with Toronto, Florida.
All right. So
you and I both had Ottawa at 6. Not going to spend a lot of time on the Senators. I think they had some interesting decisions this offseason. Bringing in Tarasenko was weird.
Especially for just
what they're doing.
It's a little undecided. I mean, they could have a stellar year still. We don't know. I mean, it just, the pieces don't seem to add up.
Right. Too especially much. Like DeBrincat goes away. He goes to Detroit, who we'll get to in a second. You still have the whole situation of they've got Brady Tkachuk. They've got good pieces. They got Shabbat, but they're just not a team to me that's complete enough to push in a really good Eastern Conference. Now, I had Montreal 7, you had Detroit 7. These were flip-flopped. I personally think it could go either way. I'm not high on Detroit. I think Dylan Larkin's good. I think it's good that they brought in DeBrincat. But beyond that, I mean, they've got a lot of picks. I just don't see them being a team that can really put anything together.
No, I think this is for them this year. It's kind of I wouldn't say it's a tank, but it's more of like it's a make or break. So if they don't make it to the playoffs or have at least a shot, they're going to be sellers and get ready to start loading up for the future.
Yeah, like the Devils last year.
Yep. And then Montreal is just still trying to get all their young players. I mean, they still got a lot of picks. They still got a lot of raw talent that needs to be developed. So that's why I still have them as last, because they've got so much talent that's so raw, it's just not quite there yet.
Yeah. I mean, Caulfield and Suzuki are good players. They're a little small.
Correct.
But I mean, they're not bad. It's weird to think this team like went to the Stanley Cup final like 2.5 years ago. And now they're at the bottom of the league. That just year was so weird. I have them higher than Detroit just because I wanted to be different, to be honest. but I think Montreal, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. That city really needs to be relevant again. But I just don't know if it's going to be this year. All right.
That makes sense.
Do you want me to go first with the Metro? Do you want to go first? How about you?
I'll let you go. You want me to go first?
Go for it.
Okay, so I have for the Metropolitan, as we've talked before, it actually has not changed. I still have Carolina as number one. Then I have the Devils at number two. Rangers at number three. And then surprisingly, as a potential wild card, I do have the Islanders over the Penguins. And then I do have Washington followed by the Flyers and Columbus.
Do you think Columbus is going to finish in the basement?
I think so this year. I think this is going to be a little bit of a different change for the. I think the Flyers are going to make some improvements this year.
All right. So this is, we differed a lot after the top three. We'll get to the top three in a second in depth, but I've got Hurricanes, Devils, Rangers, Penguins, Capitals, Blue Jackets, Islanders, then Philly.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I think the big thing is that you think the Islanders are going to compete for a playoff spot. I don't think they're going to finish anywhere close. And here's why. This team is just really confusing. And maybe it's just, Sorokin's really good and Varlamov's really good. And, I mean, they do have good players. I'm not saying they don't have good players. I mean, their top line's really good. Bo Horvat and Matt Barzal are good. Excuse me, Brock Nelson's solid in their second line. Kyle Palmieri, you know well, he's pretty good. Yeah. You know, their fourth line beat the crap out of the Bruins a few years ago in the playoffs. Just what makes me a little bit meh is their defense is pretty meh. They did re-sign Scott Mayfield, which I think was a good move, but they got in a lot of bad they're in a lot of bad contracts. And they've started slow the past couple of years. So if they start slow again, part of me just wonders what the mood's going to be like down there. Brand new arena, a couple of years old, started slow, made a lot of interesting extensions this offseason. Lou Lamoriello getting his guys signed up. And I'm just a little bit concerned about them over a whole 82-game season. Now, I'm leaving the door open that I could be completely wrong and they could push for a playoff spot. I'm just looking at recent history and saying, is it going to be worth it that they went all in? I don't think the gap between them and the Jackets or the Caps or the Penguins is big at all. I think those four are, like, you could put them in any order. I'm also just sort of, to be honest, trying to make a little bit of a splash, make for a good show, because I thought, I think that's the biggest difference. I think Pittsburgh is going to be there, right there. I think they made some big swings in the offseason. We've talked about it.
Correct.
Washington, meh. Columbus, I don't think they're going to be that bad, dude. Gaudreau can't have two horrible seasons in a row.
Hey, you know what? I got to be a little different here. You know, I got to put true. Some, be a little different. I'm putting minimal faith into my Flyers here, even though I'm not a big fan of theirs, but I put a little faith in them this year. I do think, I mean, they've got a decent goaltender, still got just second year coach coming back. So I think they've got a lot to improve on coming up. But I just think the Islanders are just that. I don't know. They're not going to win a lot of games. You're correct. But I think the Islanders, they've already been there before, battled for a playoff spot multiple years now. And they've got this young goaltender who played out of his mind toward the end of the season, which is what carried him to go to the playoffs. And I think that's why I have them, because they've got some great young studs. I did watch a couple preseason games of theirs. I was pretty impressed. Pittsburgh, I'm concerned with their goaltending and defense. I mean, yes, they brought in two great defenders. They brought in Carlson. They brought in another former Devil that I'm currently forgetting.
I'll pull it up for you. Unless they don't get another ad.
Yeah, no more ads. But, I mean, I just have more trust in them because the Penguins played so inconsistent last year, and I think the Islanders played more consistent. Not saying it was a lot better.
Pittsburgh was knocking on the door of a playoff spot on the last day of the year.
Yeah, they went on huge slumps of, like, winning and losing, but also blowing leads late in games.
Did New York do that, too? I got to look at last year's standings.
The Islanders? I
thought they were right there at the end as well. So
they were them. I think it was Buffalo, Islanders, and Penguins for that last wild card spot.
Well, no, the Panthers ended up getting it. Don't Believe me, they ended up getting it. You're right. The Islanders did get a final playoff spot.
Yeah, because they played the Canes first round.
So now you're sort of talking me out of the Islanders being a seventh place team.
See, there.
How about I slot them up to six?
You could do whatever. If it makes you feel better, do whatever you
like. I'm slotting them up to six. That's my official pick. Because you're right, Columbus doesn't have a really good defense. Werenski's pretty much it.
I think the Capitals are also just a little too old still and don't have many picks currently. So
well,
I don't
picks
think...
don't matter in the regular season.
Well, no, but they don't have much youth. I don't trust their goaltending and them to stay fully healthy. I mean, look at Ovechkin's what, 39, 40 almost?
Yeah.
So and Carlson's what? Close to that age as well. I think their team is just.
I think he's younger though.
I think he's like 35.
Yeah.
Which is still up there, but I just don't think they have enough. I didn't see anything that showed me anything, at least last year. They were hurt pretty often last year, but I just don't see enough this offseason to prove or show me that they are prepared to take the next step to compete for the playoffs.
By the way, you're thinking of Ryan Graves. He's going to play top six. I think he's going to play opposite Letang. So back to Washington. They are kind of old, yes. But I mean, I'm looking at that team and it still has players, and they are pretty much the same team as all these three teams. Pittsburgh, Washington, and New York Islanders, same kind of team. Veterans, not a lot of amazing young players, but a lot of good veterans, solid. Mm-hmm. They're going to be hanging around. That's why it's going to be hard for like Buffalo to make the playoffs, because you've got three veteran teams in the other division, plus the Bruins in your own division, that while not amazing, still have a lot of experience. So correct. I think that's going to go a long way down the stretch. Now, let's talk about the top three, because we're in agreement on the top three. Start with the Rangers, my favorite team from last year, apparently on the show. I thought they were going to win the Cup. They still are a really solid team, top to bottom. Good goaltending, good defensemen. You know, Adam Fox, right? Ryan Lindgren, Shesterkin. And then in their forward group, you got Panarin, right? Zibanejad, and you know the young kid there, Alexis Lafreniere. They have a lot of solid players, and that's like without even me looking at their line, right?
Correct.
Do you think they're gonna like succeed in the playoffs, or is this gonna be another one of those years where like they get there and nothing happens?
Last year, we talked about like before even the trades happened, we thought the Rangers were better off before they made any trades. So, I mean, this is the same team already. My only concern, I mean, they're going to have a great defense. That's what's carried them is their goaltending and then the guys in front of them, how they play. That's what's carried them. Dumping the puck in and chasing it down is what the bread and butter was. I mean, they got a new coach this year, so I don't know if things are change a bit, so I can't really say. I mean, that's like my biggest concern is like I don't know what they're going to look like this year, so that's why I have them as a three. But Shesterkin is probably the number one goaltender in the league, I would say right now. So he's the guy who is basically going to carry this Rangers team. It really is going to depend on how much firepower they can carry, if that makes sense, of how many points they can put up on the board. But I'm a little scared. I'm just not trusting them when they get to the playoffs. Shesterkin will play out of his mind, but are we going to have the same team as we had last year and just not show up on some games and then show up?
Yeah. They just weren't cohesive last year, Kyle. We didn't even talk about Keandre Miller or Jacob Trouba, right? So their defense, their top four defense, they might have the best top four in the league.
Probably.
I mean, Calgary's top four is pretty good. Vegas's top four is pretty good. Obviously, Carolina's top four, who we're going to talk about, they're really good. But, I mean, New York's got a really good top four. Boston's top four is pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of good defense, but I'm looking at the Rangers' defense right now. They're going to be really solid, and they brought in Eric Gustafson too. So I'm with you. I'm with you on the Rangers. It's going to be all about, can they score enough in the postseason, and do they have the cohesiveness? But they're going to be good enough to finish third in this division.
Correct.
Because I still think they're better than Pittsburgh or Washington or anybody else.
100%. It's all, if they didn't have Shesterkin, I would say different animal, I would say.
Right.
Didn't have a top three or five goaltender, it'd be different.
And with me and the Devils, I told you I'd give you my Devils take first. I think New Jersey is going to, their big problem is going to be managing expectations. So Hischier, second line center, really good season last year, really good young player. They're going to need some of these guys that popped last year as young players to have another good season. But here's what they got going for them. They got better because they brought in, first of all, they brought in Tyler Toffoli from Calgary.
Yep.
And giving up Sharon Govich isn't going to be that big of a loss.
Nope. It opens up a play space for Luke Hughes to play, but also keeps the ball as well on their defensive front. Right.
And then they re-extended Timo Meier. Plus, correct, they've got your probably favorite player in the league right now, Jack Hughes, is their number one center. Correct. So then they've got Thomas Nosek on their bottom four, who as a bottom three, who as a Bruins fan, I can tell you is really good on the penalty kill and wins a shit ton of faceoffs. And they've got Eric Halla. So basically, they're going to be really good on the special teams. Like Eric Halla and Thomas Nosek are really good penalty killers.
Correct.
So they literally have created the Bruins bottom six, bottom line from like 2 years ago. They've got Curtis Lazar, Eric Halla, and Thomas Nosek. So, I mean, like, I think they're going to be really deep, but one of their big underrated situations is that Dougie Hamilton is still a really, really good defenseman on all phases. And I think they're going to get a better year from Vitek Vanacek than they did last year. So they're going to be right there. They're just going to have to manage some expectations, because expectations are going to be that they're competing in the Stanley Cup final. That's how much people love them. You know, they're pumping the tires of the New Jersey Devils all offseason.
Oh, I know. It's everyone's jumping on the bandwagon fan club right now, from last year and now to this year, of what they've just done. I mean, gosh, they're the number one current team that players want to go to. Best organized franchise in the league, like right now, according to the different polls I've been seeing. I mean, the fans love it. The players love it. Like, it's just a positive atmosphere all around. But I do think, like you said, they do have high expectations. I wouldn't say Stanley Cup would be the goal this year. I think at least this year would probably reaching at least the Eastern Conference Finals would be probably my expectations at least.
I think if you win a round, even if you win a round and you lose to like New York in a 7-game series in the second round, just because Shesterkin plays out of his mind, like, I wouldn't look at that season as a failure.
No, I mean, it'd be their second time making it since, what, 2018 again? So yeah. I would be super excited, but I mean, I also have high expectations. Yeah. I could see them win division still over the Canes. But I really enjoy, I know it's just preseason, but I was really loving the preseason games. It was just the chemistry now that they are starting to develop. But Timo, they didn't really have time to build chemistry. Right. It came halfway through the season, and then bringing Toffoli over, it's incredible. If you've watched some of the preseason games, it's just Jesper Bratt is unbelievable. I think he's going to have another great year again. Jack Hughes, we already know. And then we have Toff on that line. Like, how do you stop all that speed on one line together? Especially if Hughes doesn't even have to be the center on that line now.
Yeah. crazy. It's crazy how much depth they have.
But like you were saying about star players coming up, I do think Holtz is definitely a young guy who's going to come up this year and make a huge impact. And same with Dawson Mercer again. I think those are the two guys to watch out for. Ball is another one. I'm not saying he's a big scorer, but he's a huge, huge man, huge human being. So on the backside, he's definitely going to be huge. And then we got to look out for Jack's brother, Luke. This is going to be technically his rookie season. Yeah. I mean, you got a little last year and we already saw little sparks of it. So it's going to be fun to see. And then the Devils have a great young prospect group coming up. They're still growing on. So I think there's no real issues of depth, but also keeping like Eric Hall, I think is huge. Like you talked about killing penalties, Lazard being your heavy hitter. So if someone needs to take care of business, he's your guy to go to. So like you said, they're kind of built ready to go and they're bringing in this new idea of speed is the way to go. I mean, that's what Carolina's built like right now is pure speed. That's how you play defense and that's how you get the puck up the ice. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing from other teams as they start bringing in these new guys is going to be changing the game.
I agree. Definitely agree. There's a ton of room for optimism there. In New Jersey, they're going to have to manage expectations for sure. Now, speaking of expectations, I'll give you my Carolina take right now. And if you remember our first podcast of the year, I called this, I'm going to call this again. Sorry to spoil the party 10 minutes before we go to our playoff picks, but I think Carolina's going to win the Stanley Cup. This is their year, man. I'm telling you, they've been so close for so long and they just keep adding and keep building and without really subtracting much and without really putting themselves in salary cap jail. All of that is wicked hard to do in the NHL.
Agreed. Plus they were down two superstars last year from injuries. They're two
correct.
Top
that
guys.
Was my next point. They were down Max Pacioretty and Andrei Svechnikov last year in the playoffs and they still made the conference finals, I believe.
Yes.
Now they bring in Bunting. They've got Svechnikov coming in. You've got Aho, Seth Jarvis, Teuvo Teravainen, and Jesper Kotkaniemi, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who I think is one of the most underrated centers in the league. Excuse me. And then you have Marty Nietzsche, who everybody adores. Great middle six player. You still have Jordan Staal, Jack Drury. I'm looking at their lines. I mean, and that's just their forward group. Their defensive pairings, I mean, it's unbelievable. Slavin, Burns, Sketchy, Pesci, Orloff, D'Angelo, all six players are top four caliber, and they've got six of them. They are a buzzsaw. They are going to be a problem. If you're in the Metropolitan Division, you got to play them four or five times a year, whatever it is.
Four
that's
times.
Going to be an issue. And I would argue they have two, much like the Bruins, they have two goalies that are capable of starting on their own.
Right.
So all of that comes together. And I just think there's not a team in the league that is as balanced, as fast, and as deep as Carolina. And for that reason, it's going to be super hard to beat them in the postseason if they're healthy. It was really hard to beat them last year in the postseason and they weren't healthy. It took a team like Florida who was having an unbelievable run in order for that to happen. So are you far off from me on my take with Carolina? Could you see them winning the cup?
I mean, I could definitely see them winning the cup. They definitely have the tools. And as long as everyone stays healthy, they've got probably the best shot. But I do think that it's probably going to be the hardest shot they've got. I mean, the Metropolitan, I think, is going to be the hardest way to go to get to the playoffs. If you've got to face other Devils, Carolina, or the Rangers, I think it's going to be at least six games if you're playing one of those three teams against each other.
Absolutely. I don't think there's a scenario that exists, buddy, where a team like New York or Pittsburgh, they got to go through New Jersey and Carolina on the road. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible because we saw what Florida did in the Atlantic last year, right? They took out Boston, they took out Toronto, and they took out, and then they went and took out Carolina, which you would argue last year were the three best teams in the East as a whole. They took them all out.
Correct.
So I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just that's a tall order for anybody in that division to come out of that division. That's why, as a Devil fan, for you, I wouldn't be like sad if you lose a hard fought series to the Hurricanes in the second round, and the Hurricanes go on to win a Stanley Cup, and you're ahead of schedule anyway. I wouldn't be sad about that.
No,
longer than a few days, of course, because the future is really bright. But speaking of the playoffs, what do you think happens in the East now that we've gone through both divisions? I've sort of made a hint about what I'm leaning on. But what do you see in this Eastern Conference come April and May?
Ooh, who do I have as my top four teams on both sides right now?
I think you had Carolina, New Jersey, New York, and the Islanders.
Yep.
And then you had Toronto, Florida, Boston, and Buffalo.
Yep, I'd say that's how I would draw it up. That's how I would have it. So I would have. Oh gosh. This is tough. Do you want me to pick my final two, or how do you want me to?
Yeah, go for your final two, and then I think that's what we did with the West, if I remember correctly. Pick your final two, and then pick your final one out of those two.
Oh gosh, I'll go final four. I'll make it more interesting. I'm going to go, for the Atlantic. I'm gonna have, Florida versus Can I do that? Yeah. No. I'm going to do Florida versus Toronto. That's who I have as my prediction for the Atlantic. And then for the Metropolitan, I have Canes versus Devils.
All right. I like it.
So to tell you about the fairy tale I have the Devils playing Toronto in the finals. For the East.
Nice.
And then I have the Devils playing. I have the Devils going all the way to play the Knights to set up the fairy tale of the Knights taking on the Devils. So
I
have for this poetic. Year. I think it's the perfect story altogether to have that.
Yeah. I think it was the 2022 playoffs. I think I took Flames versus Lightning and Stanley Cup. And I thought that would be like a weather battle between fire and lightning. I like the Devil and the Knight. That's a good one. And did you say you have the Knights winning or the Devils winning?
Oh gosh. I think I'm gonna go Knights again. Knights are gonna win it all.
They're gonna repeat. Again.
They're gonna repeat. I know it's rare, but they literally brought everyone back, and that team is gonna be so hard to beat. And I don't think the Devils are quite ready to take on that as a young team, first time in the playoffs or Stanley Cup final for basically every player.
All right. Yeah, that would be tough. That's a tall order. Like we just said, that's a tall order. Mm-hmm. All right. You're getting me. I like it because guess what happens? Quick sidebar, and then I'll give you my picks. If Bruce Cassidy wins another Stanley Cup, he's immediately a Hall of Famer.
Right? Agreed.
Because when he left the Bruins, he was the third most winningest coach in like 50 years in terms of like regular season. Then if he leaves Boston, he's already been to one final with Boston. Then if he goes to Vegas and wins back-to-back cups, he's, in my opinion, immediately a Hall of Fame coach. All right. That aside, in my Atlantic division, here's how I have it shaping up. This is super hard. I'm actually going to start in the Metro now that I'm thinking about it. I think Carolina wins that division we talked about.
Yeah,
they're automatically in the playoffs. Same thing with New Jersey and New York. But I think the Rangers, I think it ends there.
Okay.
I think Pittsburgh, Washington, Columbus, and the Islanders.
Don't make it.
I don't think any of them make it. I think I had the Islanders 6, Pittsburgh 4, and Washington 5. I don't think any of them can get over the top. Then I think in the Atlantic, I'm buying the Buffalo Sabres hype train. I might regret this, but I think the Buffalo Sabres make it as a second wild card as a 5. They were really close last year. I think they're going to be better. And I think if they bring in Patrick Kane, like I want them to, as a hockey fan, maybe not as a Bruins fan, I think they make the playoffs as a five. Therefore, I've got Boston in as a four. I've got Tampa Bay in as a three. I got Florida in as the two and Toronto as the one. Now, Florida, a lot of people have them dropping because they're going to be a big hangover. I think they're going to stick around. But I think in the Battle of Florida in the first round, that's your first round matchup. I don't know who wins that, but that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Florida and Tampa Bay in the first round. Then you're going to see a tale as old as time. You're going to see Boston and Toronto in the first round. And then what's going to happen is Buffalo is going to have to go play Carolina. They're obviously going to lose because I think Carolina's going to win the cup. So Carolina moves on in the second round. They play the Devils, who I think take care of the Rangers. All right. Meanwhile, you have Boston finally losing a playoff series to Toronto. It pains me to say it, but I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see Boston losing in their first round, probably in seven games to Toronto. I think they're finally, after 11 years, finally going to beat the Bruins in a playoff series. And then you're going to end up with, I think, Toronto and the winner of Florida. And then you're going to end up with Carolina and Jersey.
And pick your winner of Florida.
So I think my winner of Florida, I don't want to pick, but if Vasilevsky's healthy by then and playing really well, it's really hard to pick against the Lightning in the playoffs, even though they're not as deep as they used to be. So let me say Lightning and
Toronto.
I'm going to go Lightning and Hurricanes.
Okay.
I'm going to send it. It's really hard. I mean, if Vasilevsky's healthy, it's going to be really hard to pick.
Battle of the Warm States. I like it.
Yep. And then guess what's going to happen, dude? We're going to have more weather. You've got fairy tales. I've got weather, because you're going to get the Hurricanes and the Lightning going at it in the Southeast. And then they're going to go in the mountains and they're going to play the Avalanche in the Stanley Cup. But I think it's the Hurricanes who are going to overtake the Avalanche in our weather battle. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. I got Hurricanes over Avs. It feels clunky. It feels wrong. It feels like I'm set up for failure. But last year I was pretty on with saying that the Bruins were going to win the Atlantic in the regular season, when a lot of people had them finishing fifth or sixth. Mm-hmm. So I'll take that. I don't know, man. I think if Tampa can get healthy in the second half, you still can't count those guys out to make a run of some kind.
No, I mean, they gave fits with the Devils last year. I don't think the Devils beat them last year in the regular season. So if the Devils had to face them, I think that's the only team that is their kryptonite besides the Hurricanes. I mean, they beat the Hurricanes in the regular season, but they were close games until playoffs. But playoffs is a different animal, so we're not there yet.
Right. Playoffs is a completely different animal. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think, obviously, a few years ago, Boston would have taken care of Toronto. But I don't know if Boston's deep enough, right? I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins pull off an upset. Maybe it's poetic justice for them getting upset themselves last spring. I also, you know, they've got experience. Tampa's got experience. Pittsburgh's got experience if they can somehow get in. Carolina, I think, is just so deep, and they have everything. They haven't won, but they've been to the conference finals year after year, and they have a really deep team.
Correct. I'm just making it a little different.
Yeah, we got to. I like your Vegas back to back pick. I personally, that would be really cool.
I just have enough faith in Bruce Cassidy and that whole entire veteran team. I just have so much faith, especially with what the West has currently. Like, they shut down the Oilers like it was nothing, and that was the most high power offense. Colorado got hurt with injuries, and that's what plagued them last year. And those are probably the top teams. And then Dallas is the next upcoming team. So that's the only other team I think that could make a push to stop the Knights. But the Knights were just a different animal in the playoffs.
Yeah. I go back to experience too, though, like with the West as we talked about last week, Colorado is just, they've won. They've got a top five forward in the world and probably a top two or three defenseman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they've got the best players right there. Vegas is right there too. I mean, the West is really top heavy. The East is much more elongated. That's why it's really hard to look at like my list and like say that a team like Pittsburgh might not make the playoffs. It's because Pittsburgh is still a really deep team and they went out and added defensemen in the offseason, right? And that's what wins championships, really, is defense and goaltending. So I don't know, man. I don't know what – I don't really know if my prediction is going to come true. I had this feeling. We woke up in July, and I think Carolina – I think Carolina is going to go for it. I think they're going to win. And you've well, got –
we'll have
you've
to got, wait and see. We'll start – we'll see what happens Wednesday.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Oh, by the way, I mentioned this on my show, which you probably listened to. I was mostly talking football, but at the end I did plug in, and this is a good way to end our program. What do you think of the new Frozen Frenzy or whatever it's going to be called on ESPN, like the Red Zone style show?
What's your take on that? Like, I get to watch, like, with our start, I think it's 15-minute increments between the games they're doing. That's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be better than, I mean, if I'm a hockey fan, better than the Red Zone for football. Like, we've got hot, some fast-paced movement going on. I'm going to be watching four different screens of hockey of all these superstars. It's going to be amazing.
Can you repeat the format for me one more time? Because I haven't heard that yet. How are they going to set up the format, Kyle?
The format, so they're doing games in like 15-minute increments, like separated when they're going to start. And then just like the Red Zone, you could pick like four games to watch. So it's going to be boom, boom, boom. You can watch whatever game, like when they're all started, of course. But like still, I mean, now they also are launching that you can pay to watch your own team play. I think it was like 62 games you get to watch, like the ones who aren't televised
nationally.
Well, nationally on ESPN and Plus or stuff.
Yeah, I think Vegas started that. Correct. The Bruins already have that with Nesson 360. Anybody nationwide can get that.
Correct. But not everyone. Not every program has that luxury.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad. I'm with you. I didn't know about the 15-minute thing. I hadn't heard that yet. But that's now that you bring that up, that's really cool. I didn't know how they were going to structure it. But John Bucci Gross, I think, is a good dude. He's a nice ambassador for the game here in our country. I didn't love him as a broadcaster, but I think in this role he might be better suited. And I just hope ESPN, as a family of networks with ABC and whatnot together, can really tap into something that I think has been missing on our side of the border for quite a long time. And as much as I loved NBC coverage, they weren't as innovative with stuff like this at all. They came up with the idea for the Winter Classic, but they didn't really do much else in terms of creativity per se. So hopefully it works out for ESPN. Any final thoughts for you, Mr. Diesel, Mr. Kyle?
Just excited to have hockey going and football. So I'm just so excited to get back to having sports.
Absolutely. Speaking of, you and I have our fantasy matchup with one another starting tomorrow, Wednesday. Would you like to... would you like to make a friendly wager for all of our listeners to hear, or are we just gonna revisit it the next time?
We can if you want.
I don't know. I haven't given it much thought.
We can give it.
I know I'm gonna see you in person this weekend, so maybe we can agree on a wager then, and then possibly reveal what it is next time we do, or what
the. I like that. I like that.
All right, because if it's anything like, you know, the finals from last year, you know that I'm good for a comeback win.
That was bull crap.
Hey, you know what? One thing before we leave that I think is interesting, and if you haven't had your fantasy hockey draft yet, you better do it fast. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting that I think you and I both picked a lot of guys that are eligible at wing and at center. And that goes a long way in a long season when guys get hurt. That's a huge asset for fantasy hockey. So if you haven't done that yet, piece of advice from a reigning champion. All right. Oh my God. I'm going to get myself in trouble. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our Eastern Conference preview. We'll be back pretty soon to recap the beginning of the season and what we think of the new ESPN program structure. But until then, I hope you all have a great rest of your week. Hope you enjoy the first week of the season. We're finally here, and pretty soon we will be in the thick of it. But for all of us, including my good pal Kyle Diesel, I'm Will Highland, and you've been listening to Odd Man Rush. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. You can also listen to Home Field Advantage and Filling Up wherever you listen to podcasts. Home Field Advantage is now expanding to 2 days a week, Monday and Thursday. So we hope you all check us out there and follow us at Home Field Pod. Every Sportland USA program is an independent program, and the opinions expressed on them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.